This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Oh, hi, my name's Jeanette and I'm now alcohol-free for around 150 days, which is a miracle, to say the least. I've been trying to go alcohol-free for about a decade, on and off, doing a month here, a week here, 2 months here, you know the score. But now I'm 150 days in and absolutely loving it. Life is so much better. Being part of the OTI community has helped me vastly. It's fun. It looks at what you're gaining, not what you're missing out, which was a mistake I made before. I always thought I was missing out on life when I wasn't drinking. Oh my God, how wrong was I? Life is great without a drink. Just try it.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It is marvellous to have you listening. If you are maybe finding us for the first time, thank you. Stick with it. Hopefully you'll enjoy the episode. Go back and listen to everything else we've done. I was trying to work this out the other day. We have been doing this now for 4 years, at least 52 episodes a year, with some bonus ones thrown in as well. You're looking at about 200 flipping episodes of this podcast. We show up week in, week out, because we are alcohol free and we are consistent. One of Ben's favourite words. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz. Based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. This September, I'll be 6 years alcohol free, which is absolutely bonkers. Still loving it. Still the best thing I ever did. And still, it gets better and better and better. Stick with us. Hold that thought, because you're going to hear more about that concept throughout the course of this episode. People say to me, Shaz, how much did you drink? How bad did it get? It got bad enough for me and I drank too quickly, too fast and far too often. Decided to have a break. That break turned into a year and here I am 5.5 years now, still wanging on about the absolute joys of sobriety. Of course, I don't do it on my own. My co-host, who's looking fresh today, surprisingly, look well. Ben, how are you doing?
Thanks, Shaz. Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I'm Ben, I'm 35. I live in Liverpool with Jem, Alfie, Millie and baby Leo. And Shaz, you know that I didn't have a rock bottom, but for me, fulfilling my potential became more important than refilling my glass.
Love this. I love this. It's going on my quotes board. And I've not even got a quotes board.
Yeah. Because for me, fulfilling my potential, Sharon, became more important than refilling my glass.
That is wonderful. Hits deep, that.
I should say glass. With our guest here today, for you in Lancashire, but also our guest up in the northeast. You know what, Shaz? I'm 4 years alcohol free next month, and I wonder how that feels to be 4 years, 4 years alcohol free.
Actually, it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
What a beautiful segue into introducing today's guest, because you know what, Ben?
Yeah.
Today's guest is actually.
Yeah.
4 years alcohol free.
4 years alcohol free today.
4 years.
Is that right? Well, is it today as we record?
Just slightly over. He was 4 years like a week or two ago.
Oh, well, he really knows how it feels. Ian Thirlbeck, welcome to Over the Influence. How are you?
Well, hello. I'm very, very well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back on. I'm honoured.
Well, this is now the third time we've had you on the podcast,
Ian.
Yeah, because we had you on after year one, year two. I don't know what happened in year three, but now we're here for year four.
Yeah. Well, you've seen me again on year eight. Yeah. Do your maths.
Before we get into this, I love it because I'm so nosy when we do a Zoom recording. I'm just looking in the background of your setup there on your pin board. And I'm not trying to look at all your personal stuff. No, actually, I am trying to look at all your personal stuff. I could just see there in the background, pinned to that little cork board, Over the Influence postcard. What was that one from, Ian?
It wasn't. I'm going to have to go and get it. It wasn't a year. It was something else. It was one of your very early ones. So you can see it there. It was from you on the 11th of June, 2021. saying, thank you for all your support with OTI. It's been a joy to witness your amazing transformation. Ooh. Keep going. Hearts, kisses. There you go.
That's amazing. That must have been a milestone then. So 21, that's exactly 3 years ago. So that must have been for your 1 year,
Ian. It will have been.
Ian.
It will have been. It's so it was. Year. There you go.
Sorry that Shaz has spelled your name wrong, by the way, Ian. It says Dear Can on
Dear Can.
Dear Can. Is that
that's
right?
My, that's my flowery eyes.
Because of my can-do attitude. That's why.
Shaz, I actually got distracted by Ian's background. You looked straight at the ATI logo. I looked at the quote that you can just see in the top left
can see
here.
It.
Don't get so busy. Oh, sorry. Never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. Love that. Love
£2 in a charity. £2 in a charity shop, that was. I've got to have that.
Yeah, see, right. Better than this house runs on Prosecco and love, you know.
Correct. No, don't. My signs, where are my signs? I have still got them in here. We've talked about them before now, haven't we? And mine was like, yeah, I only drink twice a year when it's my birthday and when it's not. And I have got that wooden sign as well. This house runs on love, laughter and Prosecco.
I only drink on days ending in a Y. Woo.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I have still got the odd naff beer, Matt, though.
Oh, God, what does this one say?
Beer. It's cheaper than therapy.
What oh, man alive.
There you go, but it's still
load of
crap.
What a
shit
crock
things
of.
On beer, Mads. If you're a premium pod listener, you'll know what that reference means. If you're not, you'll have no idea. But it's fun. We like it. Right, sorry.
Oh, flipping
go on,
it.
Shaz.
Right,
let's ask a question.
Okay. Let's get into it. I think that's really significant that the postcard is there. Sorry, OTI Telegram, not just a cheap postcard at all, is it? Sent 3 years ago for your first year of sobriety. And actually, if you're listening to this for the first time and you want to know more about Ian's sort of background and journey, go back and listen. Like you said, he joined us on the pod at a year and then at 2 years as well. And it's a catch up today, basically, to find out what longer term sobriety is like for you, Ian. And so many questions like, why are you still sober? How have you made it stick? What's life like for you now? And I don't expect you to answer all those at the minute. I think the first thing we need to say is flipping well done, because it's amazing. Because we knew you before OTI was even a community. When we first started hosting our motivational Zoom calls, you were one of our first ever people to get involved in that. And we'll talk about more throughout the course of this episode as well, what you do within OTI and the community. But what I'd really just like to start by saying is, on behalf of both myself and Ben and so many of our community members, is just thank you, because you've been with us from day one and you continue to make a difference. And I've seen that from day one, and it's remarkable. And so to be sort of lighting up the way now for the people coming through who were, you know, where you were 4 years ago, Ian, it's massive. So from myself and Ben, thank you. Like,
thank you very
million.
Much. Yeah, no, that's kind. Thank you. And I appreciate that, if you know what I mean, because, we'll talk about this, I'm sure. But I do really enjoy hosting the Zooms that I do. But I think it kind of goes back to your first question of, you know, how do you make it stick? And I could talk a lot about it, and you're going to have to stop me, I think. But to me, how you make it stick is, you know, like you say, right from the start, get your full ass into it,
full
you know,
ass,
get yourself time. Stuck in. And for the last 4 years, I've not took my foot off the gas, Shaz. I've kept going. Stopping drinking was the start of, you know, making a better life for myself. And I have done. I really have made a better life for myself. And we can talk about that as well. But it just keeps nourishing me, if you know what I mean. And the more it nourishes me, the more I just keep going. And so it's just, it's all interlinked. Helping out with you guys is part of, it helps me out massively. So, yeah, it's all one big thing.
Tell us a little bit more about that then. Like you say, you've not taken your foot off the gas. What do you mean by that? How does that look?
I think when I stopped drinking 4 years ago, it was, don't get me wrong, it was difficult. And I know we don't need to go over all ground. It was during COVID. It was a hard time, but it was also it was a good time for me to stop. Once I'd stopped, I kind of thought, in order to keep not drinking, I've got to turn myself in a different direction, and I want to develop myself as a better person. I want to be the person that I always keep thinking I can be in all sorts of ways, in terms of being a good husband, being a good parent, being a good colleague and boss, doing the things that I talk about, like, you know, getting fitter, losing weight, being happier in my own skin, all these sort of things started with stopping drinking. And I've just continued. And because I've got the momentum in doing all those things, I've got a track record now of actually stick to all of these things and it works. So why would I stop? Why would I then say, actually, do you know what? I'm going to stop doing all these things now. I've cracked it. I'm just going to go and sit on the sofa and watch box sets or whatever it might be and just switch off from everything. So I just keep chucking myself at all these things and it pays dividends. It just pays massive dividends.
Ian, it sounds like fulfilling your potential became more important to you than refilling your glass.
You could say that, yeah. Ben. I wouldn't have the guts to say that, but yeah.
But 4 years in, Ian, you know, you said that at the beginning you threw your full ass into it. 4 years is a very long time. A lot changes in 4 years. Do you obsess over alcohol or the lack of? The reason I ask that is because, as you know, the kind of mission of Over the Influence really is to help people to become happy, successful non-drinkers. It's not to constantly think about alcohol or the lack of. You know, I think you've got to, especially at the beginning, you've got to really engage. But we don't want to live a life where we're just constantly thinking about this. And you've heard me talk many times about dialing it up and dialing it back, that kind of process of checking in with yourself, being honest with yourself. Actually, I feel a little bit shaky because this is an event coming up at the weekend. Dial it up, join a few more Zooms, listen to a few more alcohol-free podcasts. You wake up 1 week and you go, actually, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm solid. I'm confident. Dial it back again. Listen to something else that's not Over the Influence. Buy a book that isn't a quit lit book. Where are you 4 years in?
I would say I obsess about alcohol in a good way, if that makes sense. So like I've just said, I think that I've seen what it does when you can stop drinking and the potential that you then start fulfilling in yourself. But I wouldn't preach to anybody about it. I wouldn't. Long time ago did I stop trying to tell people, you know, who didn't ask what the benefits of not drinking were. I quietly go about my business and hopefully people, you know, see a bit of progress in me and then ask the question and then you can talk about it. So I do sort of obsess with not drinking insofar as it's a healthy obsession. It's a healthy obsession with then what it then leads to, like I say, with, you know, improving my fitness, improving my mental health, improving my sleep, improving, you know, my sort of quality as a husband and as a father and stuff like that. So, but it's a healthy obsession, Ben. I don't know if that answers your question, but I do still think about it a lot. And I do worry sometimes that I kind of sort of, but I think I've just, like I say, I feel like I've got the, it's creating such a positive charge in me that I just want to keep pushing on. And don't get me wrong, crap things happen and life, you know, chucks me curveballs and all the rest of it. But I'm so much more capable to deal with things now. I want to keep on the front foot and I want to keep sort of like, you know, doing all these positive things. But, and that starts with not drinking and it starts with, you know, and then now it starts with helping other people on that journey and sort of, you know, which is why I love doing the Zooms with you guys and just helping people out.
I really love that point about obsession because sometimes I do my own head in, like with the way I am obsessed with not drinking. And so that's not me going, oh, I can't drink. I miss this. And it's the opposite that, you know, because it all changes, doesn't it, Ian? I'm not too far ahead of you, you know, 5.5 years. But then I think back to the obsession I had with drinking and the noise that made. You know, when am I going to drink? Who am I going to drink with? When am I going to drink? How much am I going to drink? How am I going to recover from drink? I know I'm going to have a drink. And then it starts again and again and again. So like you, when I stopped, I thought there's only one way that I'm going to crack this. And that's to throw everything at it. And hands up, of course, I've got to be obsessed about not drinking. We've got this podcast that we do. Well, we've got two episodes a week. We've got a community full of people wanting to change their relationship with alcohol. And you become passionate about it. And it's about wanting to let people know, actually, there is another way. And that's why I still get excited. The fact that you're on this podcast, you here now, third time, you know, after all this time where you've repeatedly chosen not to drink, not to drink, not to drink. I'm losing my thread here. I'm just sort of agreeing with you.
You're just too excited, aren't you? That's the thing.
I'm just getting very giddy. Yeah, it's got to be a full-arse thing. You know, I don't think there's any room for half-arse measures, excuse the pun, because that's where you can trip up. I want to come back to something that you said, Ian, when you were talking about putting everything into it and the improvements. Do you mind if we just pick up on mental health and how you've seen that in particular improve? We'll talk about everything else as well before, you know, we get to the end of this episode. But I think that's been massive for you in particular, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, massive. I think, in a way, I'd love to see the version of me what he would have looked like if he kept drinking. You know, if he hadn't if he hadn't discovered OTI and he hadn't discovered the fact that he wanted to stop drinking and he just decided to keep, you know, bludgeoning on with drinking, what that bloke would look like. Cause he wasn't in a good way. You know, my mental health was not good. I was racked with anxiety, self-loathing, disappointment in myself. I used to, you know, sort of constantly be my own worst critic in terms of just not all the things I wasn't doing and all the things that I was doing that were wrong. And yeah, it just, I'd be interested to see what that guy's like compared to this guy, if you know what I mean. Because I've said in the previous podcasts, getting back to Ben's question, I think the reason I'm quite competitive with myself in terms of making the most of life is I've seen how short life can be in both my parents. I've said before, my dad passed away when I was in my early 20s. He suffered from asbestosis, like an industrial disease, and died from that. And my mum, while she died, sadly, Christmas before last, but she suffered with dementia over a very long period of time. And so while she was with us in body, arguably wasn't with us in mind, or certainly, you know, in a healthy mind for many of those years after my dad died. So I've seen firsthand that, you know, you've got to grasp life, you know, and do something with it, because, you know, my dad died probably, you know, eight years from where I am now. It could all be over very soon. So I'm really, really quite competitive with myself to make sure I have a good life. And my mental, like, getting back to your question about mental health, my mental health wasn't good. And, you know, and I wasn't living anywhere near my best life. I had a good job. I run my own business. I can say that money, sounds flash to say money isn't an issue. Of course it's an issue, but it's, you know, we have a good life as far as I'm concerned. But I was just in a mess. Personally, inside, I was in a mess. And by doing all this, I'm, you know, I still struggle. Don't get me wrong. I still have my days where I've got to have a word with myself and pick myself up. But especially over the last few months, I've noticed those days are so few and far between these days, because of all the work I continue to do. You know, I've talked to you before about mindfulness, and you know, pretty much every day, first thing I do when I get up is I put the app on and I work on my mindfulness for 10 or 15 minutes and run through all the exercises, and it's just become a good habit. I've started doing yoga. I shouldn't be laughing when I'm saying that, because I would have laughed.
I don't know why I am laughing. I'm laughing. Well, no, as well. No. I think he's brilliant.
I should be laughing at myself, really, because I am this sort of this guy who I would have laughed at before.
He's brilliant.
All these positive things are all just stack up. They stack up on each other, and they all just build and build and build. And yeah, it's just like I say. I just can't imagine where I would be if I hadn't stopped drinking.
Did you know?
Sorry. No, mine's stupid. I was just going to say, do you fit on the mat when you do yoga, Ian? Because I remember that we talked to each other on Zoom, and then we met you for the first time at one of the events. We're like, bloody hell, Ian's tall.
Like, I see what you're trying to say. Of course, I can fit on the mat. It's not pretty. It's not pretty, Ben. It is not pretty when I'm on this mat. I look nothing like the lady on the yoga with Adrienne. And Adrienne does it a lot
brilliant.
Better.
I've heard
me,
of this.
Yeah. I look nothing like her. But
yeah, you're doing it.
I'm
doing it.
I'm trying. You know, it's... Yeah. And it works.
Every credit. Just talking back then about your mental health as a drinker, did you realise how bad it was at the time, or was it when you stopped and you removed the alcohol? And obviously then, you know, you experience the clear head, don't you, and the clarity and the 2020 vision, and you can look back. Did you then realise how bad it had got, or did you sort of did you know?
I had an idea. I think day on day, I probably chose to ignore it. But then there was things I would do where I was thinking, these aren't the thoughts or actions of a rational guy, if you know what I mean. And I won't go into them, but I kind of knew there was warning signs that I was choosing to ignore. Things I might say or things I might do just weren't healthy. And yeah, and the thoughts, some of the thoughts that were coming into my head, which weren't good. And I just thought, I need to do something about this. So it was a bit of both, really, Shaz, I would say.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad, Ian, listening to you use words like self-loathing, kind of describing where you were. Because, you know, I'm really happy that you're not there now and that you're in a really happy, confident place. But you just think, like, you know, I've just come from Liverpool city centre is where my office is. And you've got to walk past a lot of people to go from work to the car park. And you just think, like, how many people who look all right on the outside in terms of exactly what you've described, you know, decent job, family man, etc. How many people are actually walking around with those feelings? It just, it made me feel really upset actually hearing you say
that. No, totally. You wouldn't know looking at me, because, you know, I think even in my drinking days, people would always say, you know, you're always happy and you're always smiling. And my default is always to smile and put a, you know, happy face on and be happy. But yeah, looking back, some of the, you know, the way I was in my own head, I was unhappy, and I was making myself unhappy. It wasn't that life had dealt me, you know, sort of a particularly sort of tragic set of cards or whatever. Yes, okay, you know, it was tough losing my dad when I did, and dealing with my mom has been very difficult over the years. But, you know, we've all got issues that we need to overcome. But I was really unhappy on the inside, and I think you're right. I think that a lot of people are in a similar position in terms of the mental health, and you wouldn't have any idea.
I think that it's really important that removing alcohol for you was the start of that. That's the foundation. You know, right, I'm going to stop doing this thing. It's not the magic bullet. You've got to then build on top of that. It's the foundation, yes. It's the foundation that gives you the energy, the clarity, the consistency and the desire to build a life that you want to live. But it is the starting point, isn't it? I mean, like, for example, for you, I know that, you know, a lot of your identity within work, you said to us before that you had to go to the pub because that's where deals are done. You know, you've got to. That's how the industry runs. You started saying to people, actually, if you want to have a meeting with me, let's go for a walk. Get on your bike. Let's go for a run.
Turned it on his head, Ben, after a while. And it was last Christmas. So your last Christmas, I put a post on LinkedIn, and I've got, you know, I'm not a massive one on social media, but I do have a presence on LinkedIn, and I've got lots of contacts on LinkedIn. Excuse me. And I put a post on the 2nd of January to say, this is my third alcohol-free Christmas. I haven't drank, but, you know, this is my third one, and I'm feeling absolutely brilliant. I still go to the pub, but, you know, networking in the pub is not a thing for me anymore. But if you want to meet me for a walk, if you want to meet me for a coffee, for lunch, if you want to meet me for go for a run, whatever it might be, I'm definitely open for business. And I was crapping myself when I said
that. Oh, what a big thing to do, wasn't it?
Crapping it.
Oh, Ian.
And, but you know what? It's paid back in spades. I got it. It went, I don't know how you categorize it.
It went viral.
But in my world, it went viral. And ever since then, I've had people approach me and say, that post you put in really inspired me. And since I have stopped drinking. Or, you know, and I've had people who may be struggling with drinking still say, do you know what? That post really helped me. And you know, I can't thank you enough. I've had business from it. I've had people contact me on the back of it and say, you know, we want to give you some work. It was an absolute game changer. And yet for 2.5 years, I didn't dare tell a soul that I'd stopped drinking. I just kept it to myself almost, and thought, I wonder if people notice that I'm not really as active in terms of networking as I used to be when it comes to going to the pub and whatever it might be. And it just goes to show, it took me a long time to get there, but once I took the plunge, it just paid back in dividends, massive dividends. It was fantastic.
And I think that's a really interesting example of the difference between obsessing about it and being active about it, is that you looked at, you know, all these different aspects of your life, all these different parts of your personality, all these different ways that people knew you as a drinker, and you were active in, like you say, flipping it. Have you done any deals whilst on a run, by the way?
Yeah. Well, not actually, you know, the threads of something have started when going for a run. Or I did, when I did the second year podcast, somebody contacted me not long after that and said, that was you on the podcast, wasn't it, that I heard? Yeah, it was, yeah. Right, okay, we need to meet for lunch. So we met for lunch, and it was a guy I'd known sort of tenuously for a few years. Again, gave me some work, and it paid handsomely. I've had other, I'm not saying that I use work, but I use OTI as a platform for business. I certainly
that's
do
not. Yeah,
10%.
We'll give you business
a plug
at the end of this episode.
You're not getting any. But it was just, you know, it just goes to show how wrong I was. I mean, for years, I told myself and my wife and other people how important it was to be seen in the pub, networking, and, you know, life and soul of the party, Mr. Larger Than Life and all the rest of it. And I was living a lie, if you know what I mean. It wasn't me. I'm confident, but I'm not typically somebody who needs to be heard all the time. And I just, this is why I'm so much more comfortable in my own skin now, because I'm living true to my values, and we talked about values and all the rest before. I'm just so in tune with my values these days compared to how I was. And that LinkedIn post was, for all, it was so nerve wracking. I'm just so glad I did it.
Why do you think that people came to you to talk business off the back of it? And why do you think that the guy got in touch with you after hearing you on the podcast? Do you think that would have still happened as Ian the drinker?
Well, he himself had stopped drinking in roughly the same sort of time as me. So he kind of, he really wanted to hear my story and share his own story. Like, see, he wasn't part of any sort of online community or anything. But I think it's that honesty, isn't it? It's that people can almost smell your honesty and that you are, you know, you're not just saying the words, you actually mean it. And, you know, it's the same with the LinkedIn post. I think when people then have, you know, sort of responded and talked about it, that they can sense that I'm really passionate about it, and I feel better. I look better. You know, I think that, you know, I look in better shape than I did, you know, when I was drinking without a shadow of a doubt. So it's written all over your face. You look healthier, you're happier, you know, I'm active, I'm doing, I'm running a lot, and people know that I like my running, people know that I cycle and I go for walks, and I think you just tap into people who are a bit more tuned into your values and the way that you live your life. So it's just a circle that keeps on sort of keeps working for you. You know what I mean?
It does baffle me. You know, lots of things when you kind of unplug yourself from the matrix as such, and you know, you go alcohol free and you look at alcohol culture. Alcohol in the workplace is one of the things that just completely baffles me now. Like, why do those two things go so hand in hand? Like, first of all, think about the kind of, you know, the staff nights out, the office Christmas party. You know, that shouldn't go together. You shouldn't be boozing in front of your colleagues there. But then also, in terms of who would you like to turn up and do the job for you, you know, on a Monday morning, do you want the person who is fresh and ready to go, and, you know, or do you want the person who's kind of trying to pretend they're not hungover or feeling crap from the weekend? Like, just alcohol and work is just such a weird combo. And like, for you to come out there and go, I'm alcohol free and I live my life in a really healthy, happy way. Yeah, you want to work with that guy. You know, of course you want to work with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't make a big thing of it. I don't sort of, you know, I don't brand myself as the happy, healthy guy or anything like that.
The alcohol free worker. Hi. Here I am.
Here's me. No, I don't brand myself like that. But you're absolutely right. And like, and I suppose, you know, it's that thing about stepping out of the matrix, isn't it? And you know, I've been out here for 4 years now. But I do remember in the early days thinking, how am I going to sort of socialize and network and operate when I don't drink? And yet now I look at it and think, why do people do that? Why do people still go round and round in this sort of circle of, but when you're in it, you can't see it, can you? It's only when you step out of it that you can actually see it for what it is and how limiting it is for your life. But I don't try and tell people who, you know, I don't try and explain that, because I think it's, people have got to be ready to listen to that sort of thing. But yeah, in the workplace, it's strange. But I'm a hypocrite if I say too much, because you know, I was that guy. I was that guy who, you know, made, you know, I was the one who was organizing nights out, organizing days out, you know, making sure that people stayed as long as possible and got as drunk as me, and, you know, did embarrassing things. And, you know, it's like a circle of trust or some of the stupid things that you did. And so I, you know, it's almost a bit hypocritical if I was then to start saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You thought about doing this. I don't do that.
It comes back to what Ben, I think, touched on as well, Ian, when you said how anxious you felt, how miserable you were, you know, the self-loathing, yet here you are in the pub with everybody networking, right, next round's on me, and, you know, let's go. And it is this, it's a facade, isn't it? It's not real. And you think about the amount of men and women doing exactly the same thing week in, yeah, week out, and how many people actually beneath that feel, God, it's weary. You know, I've had enough of this. And, you know, you look at the stats of ages of people that listen to the podcast, and you look at, you know, people within the community. Of course, we've got all ages in there, but I don't think it's any sort of massive revelation or surprise that there's a lot of people that sort of are approaching 40, hit 40, in the mid-40s into 50s have gone, I'm done. I'm done. Because I think as well, I think it's got a lifespan. You know, yeah. I ask myself, Ian, what it would be like now if I was still drinking, if I'd have carried on at the rate I was. So I stopped at 2 weeks, no, sorry, about 2 months before my 45th birthday, waking up on my 50th on a holiday with the family, sober. It couldn't have been any better. And I think, and I sometimes stop and I go, God, what would that have been like, another 5 years of drinking? Where would I be now? And I dread to think, and I just think there comes a point where you're like, you know what? I can't be arsed with this anymore. Do you feel any of that at all?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, massively. And I think that it's changed. I think that, well, I don't know whether it's changed or whether just when you start circulating with different people who don't drink as much, you know, has it changed, or are you just not seeing the same people anymore? But I do notice that, for example, the networking in my circles that I sort of working, it has cooled down a bit, if you know what I mean. It doesn't seem to be the regularity of these, you know, all-day benders that I used to go on, or even nights out or whatever. There's a lot more focus on non-drinking kind of things. And I'd like to think, you know, that hopefully I've played a really small part in that, but actually you're promoting that, you know, there's more to be done than drinking in the pub. But and I also think that I look at my children who are 20 and 17, and they're both, I shouldn't admit it, my daughter who's 17, you know, likes to drink, but, you know, my son kind of already, he started saying at the age of 20, Dad, I'm going to be done with drinking by the time I'm 30, sort of thing. And, you know, he's got a long, long way to go, but he's seen from my behavior that, you know, it's not a good look when you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. To be an old guy still trotting out the same banter that you did when you were in your, you know, your 20s and 30s. It's not a good look, is it? And I think that for all, and I've had to hold firm because, you know, like you just said, for years I've been thinking, oh God, am I a weirdo? Am I strange? What, you know, what do my kids think of me? Do they think I'm dull? Am I boring? You know, you know, everyone looks at the dads and thinks, oh, Dad, you're so boring. But, you know, I do actually think it's starting to come back around now, Shaz. And I think that, you know, so my daughter came with me on a walk on the hike on Sunday, the weekend, you know, that we did, and, you know, on the OTI hike. And God, you know, I mean, that was just unbelievable. But, you know, her view of drinking, even at that age, isn't the same as what mine was like, you know, and she very much sees the dangers of it, and mental health is such a big thing now with kids at that age. So I think they're better prepped. And I've done a U-shout. I don't know if I'm answering your question or whether I'm just sort of waffling on, but yeah, I think it's times are changing both for young and old, I think, in a good way.
Yeah, massively so. And actually, you know, yeah, it is changing. You know, my oldest two, 20, hang on, what year are we in? He's 23. Had to work that out. 23 and 21. Doesn't really apply to the 16-year-old. Yeah, we're not quite there. They're not bothered. Literally could take it or leave it. They will go for months and months and months without having a sniff. They're not bothered at all. And I also know that as a parent, that my choices and your choices, Ian, you know, when we've had teenagers now, have impacted massively. Of course they have. So your kids can see that, no, you're not boring. Look at what my dad's doing, and he doesn't need anything to ease his nerves or make it more fun, or, you know, you really are being the lighthouse, and I think it's fantastic. And I'm so glad that you brought it up about your daughter, who's 17, joining you on the hike. I saw it, you know, with a load of OTI members doing Hell Valley. When my daughter joined us on one of the hikes, I think it was Scarfell. I didn't see her for the entire trek, by the way, because she's like a mountain goat. So she was up at the front while I was puffing and wheezing.
I was there.
Right at the back. Yeah, you were probably talking to her at the front, but it's moments like that you go, wow, that's brilliant.
There's certain moments, isn't there, where you look back and I'm getting, you know, a bit sort of emotional thinking about it now, but there's certain moments when you look back on your life, and that was one at the weekend where I just thought, this shit's actually working. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, for years I've worried that, you know, what have I got in common with my daughter? You know, she's, you know, she's not interested in anything that I'm doing. And, you know, the relationship that I had with my parents was sometimes a little bit rocky, shall we say. And I've said on previous podcasts, I really hold a lot of stock in being a good dad, but also being close to my kids, you know, having my kids want to spend time with me and be with me and be comfortable in my presence, you know, not feel awkward in my presence. And like I did a little bit, and what can show that more than the fact that she wants, you know, I didn't even ask her to come. I just said, oh, I'm good on a walk.
Oh, we didn't pay her a tenner. Nothing. No bribes.
Can I come? I said, yeah, if you want. Oh, yeah. Great. And, you know, that just that it's a little. She won't know that's happened. And, no. You know, but her doing that and wanting to spend time with us. And then same with my son. You know, we go away mountain biking. We go and play snooker all the time. We do stuff as you know, as we're close. And that there is just, you know, one of the key reasons why I stopped drinking, because I wanted that relationship with my kids. So yeah, it's stuff like that. You just look back and go, yes, this is paid dividends, because it is hard at times, isn't it? You know, you're not blinkered from any of life's difficulties. You know, you're facing them full on, and you know, no matter how long you've stopped drinking, it's still, there's times when you just want to shut everything out, and there's no headphones you can put on, is there, to block some stuff out? You've got to deal with it. But then when stuff like that happens, you just think, yeah, this is good.
It's lovely to hear the, you know, gratitude chance, you know, go put on your wanky voice when we talk about gratitude, haven't we?
Yeah.
But we know it is a very positive, a very powerful, positive psychological intervention, gratitude. And to hear you talking about it there and, you know, spotting the things that actually are really important to you and having that self-awareness. I want to analyse it a bit, Ian, because I think people listening to this will be inspired by your story anyway. But 4 years, you know, this is long term for you now. And this is, you know, you're planning for this to continue to 5, 6, 7, 8 years. What you've talked about so far then is about kind of being active in sobriety, in the sense of getting on the front foot with it in all aspects of your life. A big part of that is self-awareness, not just in terms of checking in with yourself and how you feel. Actually, you know what? I'm anxious. I'm there's things going on in my head that shouldn't be here when you're still drinking, but also noticing, hang on, I feel more confident. That kind of stress has decreased. That anxiousness is going away. Noticing that, spotting that, and then being, you know, gratitude, being grateful for that, but also for the other things that happen, like going on walks with your daughter and playing sneaky with your son. What else? Like, what are the kind of, you know, solid tips can we give people from someone who is 4 years alcohol free to maintain this for the long term?
I think the key one for me is the mindfulness. It is that 15 minutes on a morning, and I keep banging on about it, but I do it now. If I don't do it, I kind of curse myself. You know, there's the odd day where I can't, because I'm up at the crack of dawn to go walking or something, and I just haven't got time, and then I might forget later on. But the one thing that I do is the mindfulness, and it's just that building that awareness of your own state of mind at any given time, and having immediate gratitude for where you are at any given moment. So it's, you know, it's not thinking about too far in the future, thinking, oh, I'm going to be happy when I've sorted that out, or in 6 months time when that's happened, that's when I'll be happy. It's just being, it sounds a bit daft, but just being grateful for the day, being grateful for the moment, acknowledging the sort of mood that you're in, and thinking, do you know what, I'm tired today, didn't have a great night's sleep, or I overdid it yesterday with whatever it might be, or so this is why I know that I'm feeling a little bit edgy today. But then just accepting it and just sitting with it, and having that sort of equanimity, I think is the word, that's just let things sort of come to you rather than constantly trying to battle with something and change it and adjust it and tweak things to your own sort of situation. Accept that sometimes it's nice just to be a passenger in life, if you know what I mean, and not try and change everybody's views or you know, butt up to the thing that's actually causing you problems at that moment in time. So I think it's just living in the moment then and being a bit more laid back with it. But that's easy to say. It's not very easy to do. The way that you build up that sort of day-to-day resilience for me is just working on my mindfulness and which includes working on your gratitude and your sort of your general sort of just acceptance of life.
But having that routine, you know, making sure you have that, you know, again, being active, going, right, I do this for me and I do this every day.
Yeah. You hear the word habit stacking, don't you? So now, you know, every morning when I first get up or do anything else, I'll go and make myself a cup of coffee. I'll do the mindfulness on the Calm app. And now I've started doing my yoga for, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour straight after that. So I get up in good time to make sure that I've got time to do that, you know. So it's just building these good day-to-day habits, the good daily habits that when you get into the routine of them, it's like healthy fertilizer for your soil. It starts to feed in and it nourishes the ground and off you go. So yeah, good healthy daily habits, I would say, Ben.
Do you know how I start my day? Just thinking about this morning. So I start my day and I wake up and I immediately put the radio station on that I run, and I go downstairs and open my laptop and immediately start working. And I've got like an hour and a half really from when I wake up, because Jem gets up early to go and do her job. So I'm up at 6 basically, and then I've got till 7:30 so we need to leave the house with the kids for the school run. And so I fill that time with work. And I think, you know, we're going through a particularly busy patch at the moment, and actually I do need to kind of be on the front foot, and it's useful to have a few bits done before you get into the office. But actually, even if I just carved out that first half an hour to go, right, like I'm starting my day within seconds of my eyes opening.
Instantly.
I'm going and I'm putting the radio on, you know, and for lots of people, that's a nice relaxing start to the day. I suppose for me, it's work because, you know, that's what we do.
I think, I've got to be careful what I say, because I guess it's you know, at this point in time in my life where the kids are now, you know, the with us, but the self-sufficient. Thank you. You know, God, I have
that
got
good.
That.
Sorry.
I have got that time. I've got the time to be able to be a bit more selfish. You know, I know you know, you've got a young family and you just started a new job and then everything's busy. So it's easy for me to say this is what you should do. It's harder to put into practice. But, you know, you could still maybe get up half an hour earlier, and do it. You know, so you can do it. It's carving out the time, you're right.
Or do it for 15 minutes instead of half an hour. You know, you don't have to do half an hour at first, do you? But just make a little bit of time for you, your brew, your Calm app, or whatever it might be.
And the other thing is as well, is, you know, when I am that, now that I am that bit more sort of calmer, I'm a lot more productive during the day as well. You know, I can segment time to say, right, I'm going to do this first thing in the morning. I'm then going to have some breakfast. I've got time to do the Zooms, you know, on a couple of days a week on the morning. And then I'm straight into work. But because I'm having to play catch up, I don't mess about with the work I've then got to do. I'm not messing around. I've got a list of things and I'm working through them and I'm a lot more productive. So because I'm calmer, I'm a lot more present and I'm a lot more focused and I've got a fuzzy head because I've been drinking. So, you know, I'm a lot more alert. So I think you do more of that work thing in lesser time because of all the groundwork that you're doing on looking after yourself.
Can we talk about the importance of giving back and how it still helps you? You know, we've talked a lot through this episode, Ian, about your tools and, you know, you keep showing up and you're putting the work in. And like you said, right at the start, you've not taken your foot off the gas. And part of that is what you do with Over the Influence. And I will reiterate what we said right at the beginning. Thank you, because you volunteer your time. You host Zoom calls. You do a topic Zoom. In fact, I think it was one of the first topic Zooms that we started doing. And this is because of you. And it's because you don't drink. And it's because you found OTI like 3.5-4 years ago, whatever it was now, before we were even a community. To have you here as part of that. And we've not even touched on the events. You know, you come on the walks and you're in the secret hike club with Danny that nobody's allowed to talk about and all the rest of it. How important is all that in, you know, as part of your alcohol-free toolkit?
Oh, Chaz, it's massive. You know, I know you keep saying thank you very much, but I should be saying thank you very much because,
you know, waiting for that, Ian, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm building up to a crescendo. Don't you worry
about
that.
It'll make me cry.
I do the two Zooms on a Monday morning and a Wednesday morning, and then I do the diet and exercise every second Monday evening, which we just started doing over the last 2 or 3 months. But it's, you know, you say thank you, and people might say thank you, but obviously we do it for nothing, but it pays me in other ways so much just to sort of, you know, I've made some really good friends. I like to help people. I like, you know, like you keep saying, you know, who else is better qualified than telling people how you work your way, navigate your way through this lot than somebody who's done it, you know, for the last 4 years and has been through every single set of emotions and events that you're going through. Who else can help you? So I feel comfortably qualified to be able to talk about it and give my opinion. It might be different for everybody else, but give my opinion or, you know, help them along the way and just make them feel better. So Shaz, I absolutely love it. And it's given me confidence. You know, it's given me to host those Zooms, you know, twice a week, 3 times a week. It gives me confidence in other settings just to present myself, just to stand up and talk openly or put myself in a work scenario and talk a lot more confidently and with passion about things, because what I do in the Zoom calls, I can then take into real life, if you know what I mean. So
it's worth
me doing. I'm not saying I want to pay you to do it, but you know, it's almost getting that way. So yeah.
And actually, let's just rewind. 3.5 years-ish, were you about 6 months when you joined us, something like that? I can't quite remember.
Four to 6 months, I think I was.
That was it, something like that.
Yeah.
And you would be on a Zoom call with us. And again, this is before the community actually became an official thing. And you were, I hope you don't mind me saying this, you were incredibly anxious and really nervous to be even participating on that Zoom call and speaking with myself and random strangers. Fast forward to where you are today.
Yeah.
And it's two different people.
Yeah. I feel honoured. I feel, you know, I'm going to get emotional again. I feel honoured and I feel like I was lucky because you found me at the, you know, when I found you, if you like, in 4 months in, and you were a younger company. You've obviously flourished since then and I've been able to grow with that.
Yeah.
And so I'm now lucky that I'm one of, because I was one of the early guys who then got the time under his belt and I know how you guys work. I was there at the right time to be able to do the Zooms and consistently do the Zooms. And so I think I'm as lucky as you, if you know what I mean, if not luckier.
The reading between the lines here, what Ian means by I know how you guys work is I know how absolutely fucking unbelievably chaotic Over the Influence is.
Which suits me down the ground.
And I'm happy to accommodate it because I'm calm.
So. Yeah, I can deal with working with these absolute monkeys.
Yeah, it couldn't get any shitter. Yeah.
Well, he's still bloody here, isn't he? 4 years on, man. No, he's not bumped off yet.
Well, quite.
That's what I love, though. You know, again, you've heard all this before, but I love you guys because you are so down to earth and positive and just upbeat, and it's all about, you know, what you're gaining and not what you're losing. And that just, you know, sings through the whole of the community because of, you know, what you guys do. And I've bought into that. That's what made the penny drop for me, you know, nearly 4 years ago. I just thought that's it. That isn't it. It's about what you're gaining.
It's the real key to the long term stuff, isn't it? Like it is almost like a light bulb moment when it does happen.
Yeah.
But when you start to make this a lifestyle, you've got to do what you've done, Ian. You've got to integrate it. You've got to be active. You've got to look at different parts and go, well, actually, how can I fit that on its head? Oh, I can't possibly. Well, actually, how can I make it not just so that I can, but that I can actually benefit from? You know, it's not just about not going to the pub and doing the networking there. It's not just about going to the pub and doing the networking without the beer. It's about going out there and saying, well, how about we do this completely differently? And people responding positively to that. You know, it's really clever what you've done and how you've approached your sobriety, Ian. And it's absolutely the key, I think. You've got to, this isn't just about removing something. You know, this is about removing something which gives you that foundation to build something, and you've done that so successfully, and it's just been an absolute pleasure watching you do it over those 4 years in.
But it's also, but now it's now you've tested that theory, and now that I've realised that, bloody hell, all these misconceptions that I've had over the years were absolutely wrong, and I've just proved myself, you know, wrong in how limited my view was. What else can I do? What else can I now sort of test with this theory, if you know what I mean? So, you know, and I don't get me wrong, I haven't got any sort of like big things up my sleeve or anything, but I'm ready now to challenge it again. You know, I'm ready to sort of push something else in terms of another direction and just explore things with a bit of confidence and say, well, actually, let's give this a try. Let's try doing this, because you've been wrong for years in terms of how you've approached things, and you've proved yourself that actually, you know, turn up, do these sort of things. Who knew that I could sort of confidently sort of, you know, hold Zoom calls consistently for lots of years, and then set up a diet and exercise one, and it's, you know, there's a WhatsApp group which is pretty buzzing left, right, and center on my phone all the time, you know, and it's like, what else can I do? What other opportunities are out there for us? So yeah, it's brilliant.
Love that, Ian. Thank you. Absolute joy to have you back on the podcast. Third time. You're up there with William Porter.
I know.
By the way, there's not many people.
Boots,
he will be. Yeah. He will be.
Who's his fullback character? Yeah.
That's all he's wearing. You see his Instagram. So he's quaking in his boots. He's not quaking in his t-shirts and his trousers, that's for sure.
He's ripped. He's pretty ripped. Oh, yeah. Actually, his really diet and exercise book's brilliant.
It's really good. Yeah.
I've listened to that two or three times. He nails the diet and exercise like he does the alcohol as well.
The bit that stuff I really liked from that was quite early on, where he said, you know, what is fitness? Well, actually, scientifically, fitness is about oxygen being carried around the body, and it's not about how you look, it's not about how much you can lift, it's about how much oxygen. Anyway, we can talk. Let's talk on the next one, Ian. The next topic, Zoom.
Get on Ian Zoom. Okay, get on Ian Zoom. Before you go, Ian, I've got a really random question. So I know you're not a social media influencer, you know, you're not an author and things like that. But I'm intrigued as to these people that will be listening to this thinking, I want to do like a meet and walk with Ian. I want to do some business with Ian. What is it you do? Give it a plug.
I'm a retail property consultant.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, that'll probably turn a lot of people off. But
I haven't got any retail property to consult on at this point in time, Ian. But someone out there might. Yeah.
So, no, I'm not plugging anything, Chaz. I just.
We wanted to plug it. We wanted to give it a mention.
Yeah, but I want to thank you guys as well, because, you know, you'll brush this off. I know you will, the pair of you, but you do an absolutely amazing job. And I'm sure people do appreciate what goes on behind the scenes, but it can't be said enough what a fantastic job. And honestly, you've got no idea how much the pair of you have influenced my life just through a chance meeting, you know, 4 years ago. So thank you very much.